Luke chapter 22, starting to read at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." And they left, and they found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Did you spot it? What does Jesus want them to remember him for? Did you spot it? It's very strange, isn't it? Verse 19, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's very strange. When I'm gone, I want you to remember me by remembering my body given for you. I want you to remember my death. It's very strange. Not my miracles or my teaching, but the most important thing, remember my death. I was recently at a funeral of a wonderful woman, and we spent the whole day remembering her life. We spent the whole day talking about the things she did and the things she said. We didn't at all talk about how she died. Jesus wants us to remember his death. And sometimes we find it easy to forget Jesus. He just sort of slips to the edges of our lives. He doesn't seem that important really to us. We're just not that fussed by him. And that's always a sign that we've forgotten his death. Jesus says, "If you remember why my death matters so much, then you'll remember why I matter so much." And that's why on this Good Friday, on the day when Jesus was crucified, it's right to spend some time remembering his death. And do have Luke chapter 22 open in front of you, page 744. Why does Jesus want us to remember his death? Have a look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 22. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." Have a look at verse 14 and 15. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus and his disciples are sitting around the meal table, and it was the time of the year when God's people celebrated the Passover. It's a bit like a Christmas, a big holiday, and time when everyone would go and stay with their relatives, and they'd all get ready for a big meal. And what they celebrated at Passover was the fact that many, many years ago, when they were slaves in Egypt, when they were serving Pharaoh, the Lord had set them free. And remember, the Lord said, "I've carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He says, I've saved you from Egypt so that you can come and enjoy a new life with me. And you remember how he led them then through the desert and on into the promised land. And every year they ate a meal that included a lamb, there's a little bit of lamb, and some bread, and some bitter herbs, not quite like these herbs, but bitter, nasty herbs. And the lamb helped them to remember. It helped them to remember how God had saved them by the blood of a lamb. And here's how. God said, when they were in Egypt, God said he was going to come in judgment and strike down every firstborn of every household in the whole of Egypt. But God said, if you take a lamb and kill it and smear its blood on the doorpost of your house, then when I come in judgment and see the blood of the lamb, I'll pass over your house. You can imagine the firstborn in every household that night just before bedtime. Dad, did you kill the lamb? Yeah, I killed the lamb. Dad, did you smear the blood on the door? Yeah, I smeared the blood on the door. And it's clearly visible. You sure? And that night, there was a death in every household. Those with no blood on the door suffered the death of the firstborn. But those families who'd taken God at his word, who'd smeared the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, God passed over them. But there had been a death, the death of a lamb, dying instead of the firstborn. Those families were saved from death by the death of a lamb. That was the lamb. And the bread, you'll see it's flat bread. It's flat bread because there wasn't time to let it rise. They had to leave Egypt in a hurry. They had to get out as quickly as they could because the Egyptians were running after them. And the flatbed bread reminded them every year that they had to get out of Egypt. They had to leave it behind. And they had to go and trust God for the future. And there are also herbs. And the herbs were bitter, nasty herbs, because it reminded them that slavery in Egypt was a bitter, nasty experience. It reminded them that they should never, ever want to go back. It reminded them that God had rescued them from something that was bitter, for something that was better. And every year, they sat round the table, and they had this Passover meal, and they looked back, and they looked around, and they looked forward. They looked back. They remembered what God had done for them all those years before, how he had passed over them because of the death of the lamb. And they looked around. The meal wasn't just a kind of history lesson. They said, remember what God did. And you see, when you remember, when you really remember, when you remember properly, the past floods into the present. Because of the past, the present is different. So they ate the meal and they looked around and said, because of what God did back then in the past, look around at what we are today. Today, we're not in Egypt anymore. We're not slaves of Pharaoh anymore. Our lives are not bitter anymore. We're God's people. We're free. That's who we are. They looked back. They looked around. And they looked forward. So at the end of the meal, they remember that God had promised that one day he would set people free from all over the world and make them his people, and lead them to the promised land of a whole new world. They look forward to that great day. And Jesus and his disciples were having a Passover-type meal, and Jesus picks up the bread, and just at the bit when he's supposed to say, remember how the Lord saved our forefathers from misery in Egypt, and they had to leave in a hurry, he says, do you see what he says in verse 19? He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, when you eat this bread, don't think of the Lord saving his people from Egypt. Think of my body. this is how I want you to remember me. And the disciples were just about choking on their bread. What? And then verse 20, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now they nearly choked on their wine. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying the really important thing to remember is not what happened back in Egypt, but what happens to me. Passover. The way the Lord saved his people from Egypt. He's saying, it all points to me. It's very striking, isn't it? In the Passover meal, at the center of it all was a lamb, because it was by the death of a lamb that the Lord kept his people safe. But there's no mention of a lamb here. That's because Jesus is the lamb. Paul goes on to say that Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And that's why his death matters so much. That's why he matters so much. That's why we can't push him to the edges of our lives. Because Jesus is saying, I am the lamb. In other words, our position is a bit like the Israelites in Egypt. The judgment of God is coming. And when they were back in Egypt, how important was the lamb smearing its blood on the door? How important was it? Was it kind of take it or leave it? It was a matter of life or death. And Jesus says, that's how important my death is. By my death, I will save you. It is a matter of life or death. I will die so you don't have to. God's judgment will fall on me, which means God's judgment will pass over you. And he will set you free from slavery and restore you to the relationship with him that you were created for, and lead you on to the promised land of a world made new. Do you see why he wants them to remember his death? All God's plans hinge on it. And he gives them bread and wine to help them to remember his death. That there's nothing magic about the sort of bread he gives them and the sort of wine he gives them. There's nothing magic about it. When he says, this bread is my body, he's not saying this bread actually is my body or becomes my body in some magic way. Imagine you ask me where the sport shop, we're sitting around having a meal, and you ask me where the sport shop is, Giles Brothers. And I might say, well, do you know where the Downs is? Okay, this plate is the Downs, yeah? And I might say, and this knife is the road between the Downs and White Ladies Road, and this salt cellar is the sport shop. What I'm saying is that these represent those things. You couldn't actually go to the salt cellar and say, I'd like to buy a pair of cricket pads. Because not actually the shop, but it stands for the shop. The salt cellar is helping you to understand where the shop is. And that's what Jesus is doing with bread and wine. Bread and wine helping us to understand something about his death. What are some of the things that help us to remember stuff? I remember at school being told how to remember the Great Lakes of Canada. I'm going to forget it now. Some mothers have educated offspring. Superior, Michigan, Huron, Erie, Ontario. Brilliant. So that was a way of remembering the Great Lakes of Canada. Anyone know any other sort of ways of remembering things? Who knows ways of remembering? What's that funny one people do for the planets? What's that one? So say that again.
My very excellent mother just makes us nice pizza.
And those are the planets. My, with an extra planet. Okay. What? Okay. My very excellent mother just makes us nice pizza. Okay. Who else can think of a way of remembering something? What about if you're a musician? How do you remember what the notes are? What's the little rhyme you say? Do you remember that? What's the little rhyme you say, Richard?
It just beats me. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't even know it, do you? What is the little rhyme? You can do the rainbow colours. Okay, do the rainbow colours.
It's Richard of York gave battle in vain.
So that helps you to remember all the colours of the rainbow. What other things do we do? When we wear a poppy, on Remembrance Day, it just helps us to remember that a lot of people died in a field where there were many poppies growing, and it helps us to remember those deaths. Or something like a wedding ring. You're supposed to look at your wedding ring, and you see how it goes round and round and round. There's no beginning and no end. And it's supposed to remind you of the kind of love you promised to love your husband and your wife with, a love that's never ending. So there are all kinds of things we use to help us to remember. And Jesus says, here's a way to remember my death, with bread and wine. Let's think about the bread. The bread reminds us of his body. We break the bread and we give it. And it reminds us that his body was given to death for us. And the thing about bread is, without it, you die. It reminds us that by his death, we've been given life. Not any old life, not just wandering around the desert, but life restored to God. And the thing about bread is that if you just put it in your pocket, it doesn't do you any good. You have to take it in. You have to feed on it. And so bread is a reminder that we are to feed on Jesus. Not on the bread. Bread's just bread. Feed on Jesus. You say, well, that's very strange. What does it mean to feed on him? Well, if you were starving, I mean properly starving, and someone gave you a loaf of bread, how would you feel about that loaf of bread? You wouldn't just go, well, that's interesting, I'll bear that in mind, I'll save it for Sunday. You'd go, loaf of bread, I need you so badly. You are my only hope of life. Without you, I was going to die. See, you wouldn't just put it in a cupboard, you would eat it desperately. Remember the Passover? Because the lamb died, the families were kept safe. Because Jesus died, we are kept safe from the judgment of God. Without Jesus, I'm a dead man. Because of Jesus, I have life. So feeding on Jesus is a way of really explaining what it means to have faith in Jesus. We turn to him like a starving man would turn to a loaf of bread, and we say, Jesus, I need you so badly, because without you, I'm a dead man. You are my only hope of life. Feed on him. Take in what he's done for us. The Lord of Lords died like a lamb to give us life. Take it in. So the bread reminds us that Jesus' body was given to death for our life. So feed on him. The bread reminds us that Jesus' body was given to death for our life. So feed on him. The wine reminds us of his blood. And the thing about wine is you pour it out. And it reminds us that Jesus' blood was poured out. Do you remember it was the blood that was smeared on the doorpost that guaranteed God was not going to judge? And later on in the Old Testament, God made a covenant or a promise with his people. And that promise meant that they belonged to him forever and ever. And when God made this promise, he sealed it. He signed it off by the blood of an animal that was sacrificed. The blood, if you like, guaranteed the promise. And you see what Jesus says in verse 20? In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Saying, my blood will be the new covenant. Jesus is saying, I will make the sacrifice that will sign off the promise of God to his people. My blood is the guarantee that God will not judge you, that your sins are forgiven, and you'll belong to him forever and ever. And the thing about wine is you drink it. And I guess the truth is we constantly worry, don't we? I messed up yesterday, so where do I stand with God? Will he still love me today? Because I messed up yesterday. And the wine reminds us, drink in the fact that the blood of Jesus guarantees God's forgiveness. He's not going to change his mind. He's going to keep his promises. We belong to him forever and ever. So the wine reminds us that Jesus' blood was poured out to guarantee God's forgiveness forever. Drink that in. Jesus' blood was poured out to guarantee God's forgiveness forever. drink that in. And as we eat and drink bread and wine, like the Israelites at the Passover, we're meant to look back. Because Christianity is not about what we must do, as though we're hoping somehow to do something that would save ourselves. It's all about what he's done on a hill outside Jerusalem all those years ago. Remember what he cried out, "It is finished, it's done." So look back on what the Lord of Lords has done and praise him. Praise him for the wonder of his love. Feed on who he is, what he's done, that he should die like a lamb to give us life. Look back. But also look around. Because what he did in the past means the present's totally different. The fact that he died like a lamb means we're not slaves in Egypt anymore. We've been set free to be God's children. Drink that in. Drink in the fact that his death means I'm not a slave anymore. I've been set free. I'm a child of God. Whatever I might feel about myself, my Father in heaven looks upon me with a love that will never stop loving me. Love that's guaranteed by the blood of Christ. And the fact that he's made me his child means I have brothers and sisters. That's why when we share the bread and the wine, it's not something we do privately alone. It's something we do together. It's not just me sitting in silence, trying to ignore everyone else, trying to keep it private, wishing they would just go away. No, look around. Being his child means I have family to belong to. And in a place called Corinth, the Christians kept falling out with one another. And in the middle of eating the bread and drinking the wine, they kept falling out with each other. And that's why Paul was so cross with them. He says, if you start squabbling now, it shows you have not remembered the death of Christ. You've not understood. So if we were angry with someone, or perhaps we've been rude or sharp to someone, the bread and the wine remind us we need to put that right. Because we're all sharing in one meal. Because by his death, Christ has made us one family. And we're to drink in how good it is to be God's children. Yes, our Father is with us. But also we have brothers and sisters at our sides. Take that in. Look back, look around, and finally look forward. Do you see verse 15? And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. See, he calls us to look forward to where his death leads us to. Because of the death of the Lamb, the Israelites were led to the promised land. And Jesus says, the next time I feast with my people, it'll be when the kingdom of God comes in all its fullness. Because of his death, we are headed to a world made new. A feast with Jesus in a world made new. And in this world, we get a taste of how good it is to know Jesus. But it's just a taste, but it's a taste that gets us looking forward, longing for the day when we see him face to face, when we feast with him and enjoy being with him in all his glory. And so when life is pretty grim, feed on where he is leading us. He's leading us to a world in which every tear will be wiped dry. And when your relationship with him feels very thin, feed on the fact that one day we will be with him, face to face. Do you see why Jesus wants us to remember his death? Because his death changes everything. Think of the Israelites facing death in Egypt. The death of the Lamb changed everything. Changed everything. It meant they were saved from God's judgment. It meant they were set free from being slaves. It meant they were free to live with the Lord and be loved by him and be led on to the promised land. And Jesus is saying, do you see what my death means? It changes everything. It means you're saved from God's judgment. Set free from slavery, to live with the Lord and be led by him to the promised land of a world made new. And that's why he told us to remember his death. See how much his death matters, and we'll see how much he matters. And we'll never just push him to the edges of our lives. We'll keep him right in the middle. Let's just pause for a moment. Be quiet.